President Obama lays out his plan to deal with the deficit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, we'll get a long-term deficit reduction plan from President Obama. You'll remember last week, we got a long-term plan from the Republican chairman of the House Budget Committee, Paul Ryan. The president's proposal is expected to include cuts to entitlement programs, as well as tax increases, which were not included in the Republican plan. Marketplace's Elisa Roth has more.
The talking heads will probably focus on the president's proposal to get rid of the Bush-era tax credits. But the speech will most likely also include a broader overhaul of the tax system designed to bring in more money. The plan also reportedly includes cuts to programs like Medicare and limits on military spending. Martin Bailey is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He was chair of the Council of Economic Advisers during the Clinton administration. He says if President Obama really wants to make a dent in the deficit, he's going to have to find other ways to increase revenue besides just eliminating the Bush-era tax credits.
He certainly could perhaps limit the deductibility of mortgage interest, and he could have that phased down gradually over time. But again, I think politically that's a challenge and certainly would be something that would get played up in the next election.
The president has invited some members of the House and Senate to the White House this morning for a preview of his proposals. Meanwhile, the Republicans have already put out their proposal for long-term deficit reduction. They're planning to bring it for a vote in the House, possibly even this week. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
We'll get a look at the banking sector this morning as corporate earnings season continues. J.P. Morgan Chase will tell us how it did last quarter. The quality of loans on the balance sheets of the big banks has been improving lately, and that's a bright spot for the financial industry. But some consumers and corporations have been holding on to more of their money, which is not so great for the banks. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
We aren't borrowing enough, and neither are businesses, which is weighing on bank profits. And for now, addressing that problem is largely out of their hands. So says Jeffrey Hart, a banking analyst at Sandler O'Neill & Partners.
When it comes to loans, it's not so much what the banks can do, it's what the economy can do. You know, if the economy keeps getting stronger and people keep developing higher levels of confidence, we should see loan growth start to pick up again.
There's been some finger-pointing at financial institutions for not lending enough, but Hart says it's not just consumers and businesses who've changed their habits. Banks are leery of drumming up the wrong kind of business.
Making underwriting standards too easy, so you're essentially giving people money that probably don't deserve to have the money, and that's where we kind of got in trouble with the last crisis. So to some extent, banks are kind of a victim of economic circumstance.
Now there's a novel thought, the banks as victims. Hart says higher energy prices and global turmoil have put the economy in a soft spot right now, but he expects that picture, along with bank profits, to improve. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up this morning across Europe and Asia, more than 0.5% higher in Germany, about 1% higher in Japan. We're expecting an announcement today from American Express that it will be the lead investor in a startup called Payphone. The company wants to make money by allowing consumers to pay for things using their mobile phone numbers. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 117 points to close at 12,263.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
Oil is trading around $106 a barrel in New York this morning. The national average for a gallon of gasoline is about $3.60. Compare that to the peak of prices back in the summer of 2008. Oil prices were much higher, around $145 a barrel. Gas prices were only slightly higher. For more on all this and how consumers are reacting, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
So is there a difference between the way that consumers reacted to high gas prices back in 2008 and the way that they're reacting today?
It's a big difference. Back in 2008, we didn't really see a big drop-off in driving. We did see use of public transportation going up, but I don't think the roads were any less congested at that time, whereas now we're actually seeing gas sales going down. They're down for the past 5 weeks, and the indication is that as gas prices keep going up, consumers will keep stepping back.
And why is that happening this time?
I would say it's because the recession is still fresh in people's mind. The wounds are still fresh, and people remember what it's like to have a cash crunch. And so they're trying to get ahead of the curve by looking for ways to economize in advance. Now, it's interesting because retail sales are still up. People are not cutting back across the board, but they are cutting back on their driving.
So people are actually going to the stores more now, but they're spending less on gas.
Yeah, but it's a little more complicated. I think we can assume that people are carpooling. I think we can assume that people are using public transit more. But I think we also have more fuel-efficient vehicles on the road right now. Back in 2008, there were probably more Hummers and more Escalades and more things like that around. Now we're seeing a lot more hybrids on the loose. That also is having a big impact on gas sales.
People are actually going out and buying hybrids and Volts and all that stuff?
They are doing that, and yet public transportation is a very strong going concern. And I think this is a real opportunity for transit operators around the country to try and offer an alternative to driving that is realistic and practical and convenient, and yet transit operators nationwide are cutting back on service even as gas prices head north.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, to the well-known floor of the New York Stock Exchange, which, thanks to computerized trading, is becoming less of a trading floor and more of a TV set every day. Well, now the NYSE is renovating so it can be more attractive to party planners. It wants to double the number of events that are held there to 1,000 a year. It appears the market has spoken and it wants to trade blue chips for chips and dip. Well, if you're still interested in the financial side of Wall Street, you should check out our new Wall Street blog from our New York bureau chief, Heidi Moore. It's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Online poker is illegal in this country. Still, last year, Americans collectively bet billions of dollars on the web. Turns out, though, the odds are against us.
There's been a tremendous progress, and actually, in heads-up limit Texas Hold'em, the best bots have surpassed the best professional human players.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Poker-playing robots raise the stakes online. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.